All right, Barbara, what do you think is the greatest thing that you want to teach out of Matthew 23?
The greatest thing I want to teach?
Shot.
Okay, here's my shot. I want to teach that hypocrisy is something that Jesus came against, and his warnings in Scripture are for the religious person. He really warns us against that religious person.
Do you really believe that some of these things have kept people out of the kingdom of God that we're talking about here? Some of these traditions?
I really do.
Do you?
I really do. And it is going to be so hard. He said it is better that a millstone be wrapped around your neck and you're drowned in the sea than you lead one of these astray, one of these little ones. And little ones here isn't chronological age. It means one who is immature in the faith. If you lead one of these little ones away from God, it is better that you just go drown in the sea.
Okay, now I want to go back in the early part of the book of Matthew and quote Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now that's, he said, seek first the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Now here we find a verse in Matthew 23, verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from men, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Now here on one hand, Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And here he's saying, now Jesus is saying, you keep people out of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You're not there yourself, and you keep everybody else from going in there.
That's right. And the woes, there's only one other place, and there are Old Testament woes, but that is for the same thing. God is coming against religious men in the Old Testament that act one way and do things the other. Their deeds are different from their words, and that's why Jesus said, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Well, there are woes in the Revelation, and that is when God comes and he pours out his vengeance upon the earth. Well, here, woes are very serious things, Darren. They are very serious, and Jesus is pouring. There are seven woes here in Matthew 23, and they're all targeted against the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they are. They keep men out of the kingdom, and they take from the needy and use it on their own lusts. You know, one of the most obvious things I've ever seen is when you go down into the state of Mexico, and on the street corners are these ornate churches on almost every street corner. I mean, they were millions of dollars in the making. And right across, a couple blocks away, are little hovels where people and their whole families and second families live. And I believe the church, or the establishment church, has taken from the needy and built up their great empires. And they have spent it on their own lusts. And we see that today in our own on our own world.
Well, I believe that's really, really wrong. Obviously, I believe that's wrong. And I believe it's wrong if, in fact, I've seen situations where there are a large percentage of the people were on welfare or near the poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the pastors were driving $100,000 Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, let me tell you want to get me riled in a hurry. I think that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't show your people how to get out of that welfare loop, you shouldn't be driving that big fancy car.
That's right.
Now, I know you have a right to drive it.
Well, I know some pastors have gotten them as gifts from the congregation.
That's
the people
fine.
Have loved them so much. But I believe like you do, Darren, that we should be at least at the standard of the people of our congregation, or bring them up to the standard that Jesus preached in the Bible.
Well, we believe this so strongly. We had one situation where people were giving way too much. And we sat down and we started writing some checks back to them and said, hey, guys, listen. We appreciate your tithing, we appreciate your giving, but in relationship to where you guys are with your family, we need you to back off here. You are giving too much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Barbara, I'm sorry, I haven't heard more churches and pastors do that, and I've been around this stuff while I was raised in it, but we just, we pastors and teachers need to guide our people, even if they're getting, and I've seen excessive giving many times, I honestly have. I've seen some people were tipping God rather than tithing.
Well, they did. They did it in the Old Testament, and there were two or three times where they said, hold it, hold it. It's just too much.
Well,
you're bringing
okay,
too
that's
much.
Good, that's good.
You're bringing too much. Oh, that's a wonderful, boy, that's a good, I'll tell you, that's a healthy congregation when they are bringing in the tithes
right,
and the
right,
offerings.
Exactly.
And I believe that's an indication that congregation is growing. And I love that when the people catch on the tithing and they catch on to the principles that God wanted them to catch on in the Word, to love the Lord with all their heart and to love their neighbor and to do the things that God had commanded them to do. Oh, we should be prosperous. Darren.
Well,
we
yeah,
should.
We
should be
prosperous. I don't have a problem with prosperity, but I really think that as leaders, we need to give people guidance. And sometimes they haven't had that background. They need the guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, you know, many ministries spend a lot of dollars to win people over their persuasion, mm-hmm. not necessarily to minister to them,
that's
but to
right.
build a bigger church or a bigger ministry or whatever. And I believe God's going to judge that.
That's right. They're used as pawns
right.
more
right.
than as individuals respected by the congregation.
And we've had people come to us and say, you know, I attended this certain church for 3 or 4 years, and I felt absolutely used.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point to where I realized I was being used. I'm never going to go back there. Mm-hmm. Now, Barbara, I believe, and you and I try to follow this, what we live and what we teach and what we preach are transferable concepts.
That's
we're
right.
not the only ones, for example, that can lay hands on sick and pray for them. We're
that's
not the
true.
Only ones
yes.
that can do that. And I believe that churches need to be set up on that basis to where people can grow right along with the pastors, right along with the staff.
Well, and I believe, Darren, why God started this ministry from the ground roots up. He wanted us to experience every level of this ministry in our own lives. He wanted us to lick the envelopes. He wanted us to send out the orders. He wanted us to duplicate the tapes. He wanted us to experience everything that the people in the congregation or the people experience. And I believe that's really the best thing, to have somebody who comes in and is all polished and can never get dirty, can never get their hands dirty. That's a Pharisaical spirit that Jesus was coming against, and he mentions that here in Matthew 23.
You know, I believe he was coming against the pomp and circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And now, let me just say this. Sometimes around Christmas and Easter, there are certain churches that are really into the Messiah and some of the real high church music. Barbara and I both have a music background from the college level. But some families, the tradition of, oh, we got to get all the family together, we all got to go to the Messiah, we all got to go to midnight mass or midnight candle
mm-hmm,
service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's okay if it's drawing you closer to Jesus Christ. But if it's tradition,
mm-hmm.
just tradition, oh, we've all got to do it. Well, why do you do it? Well, our family's done it for 3 or 4 generations.
Yes.
We've all been in this town, and we've intermarried with all the other people of this church background. And by the way, we don't want our kids to go out. No, why? God forbid they'd marry Baptist or Methodist or, well, we just don't, well, they wouldn't
want.
They're
doing that, though, now.
I know they're upsetting the apple cart. What we're saying is here, what are the traditions, folks? And some of you have family traditions that are violating. I'm getting over into family now. But it's violating your children's ability to know God better.
That's right.
And I think it's wrong.
It really is. And for you to say, you know, so many times when we ask, especially when you ask people, are you born again? Are you a Christian? Well, I got baptized when I was an infant. And see, that there is a
tradition.
It is religious formality. When we become born again, we are of the age where we can know right from wrong, and we know what we're doing, and our parents cannot bring us into the kingdom of God. You cannot baptize your infant thinking that they're going to heaven. It's not going to happen. When they turn 12 or 13, they are going to know the difference between right and wrong, and they're going to have to ask forgiveness of their sins.
We know it's the same way in some churches. They make a big deal out of catechism classes or confirmation. Now, I'm not against the priest or the pastor teaching the children.
No, and that's good training.
But,
yeah.
But the key thing there is you need to know before they get out of there, does this kid know how to get born again? Does he know how to confess his sins when he sins, which he will?
Mm-hmm.
Does he know how to go over to 1 John 1:9 and say, you know, I blew the deal, Lord, and I sinned, and I ask you to forgive me. Are they born again? Are they given a chance to be born again? And these young, fertile minds are ready. They're ready to know the Lord. And God has put a void in all of us that draws us to him. Well, we need, as pastors and teachers, to say, all right, listen, young man, or listen, little girl or little boy, here's how you get to know Jesus. Here's how you get Jesus in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, that's not a tradition, folks. That's the gospel.
That's right. And we have neglected, really, in general, we have neglected love and mercy and faithfulness, and especially love. We have neglected that for all the nitpicky little stuff that we call religion. And Jesus himself said, you blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. That means you're so picky about what people do or don't do, and you yourselves, you go off and do some grandiose, absolutely out of the world.